Romans chapter 8, verse 31, there are two questions that set one of the greatest realities a man or a woman could ever realize. Understanding these two questions challenge us to walk for our Heavenly Father in a wonderful way. The first question, Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? Good question. What shall we say to these things? Well, what things are we talking about? Well, we know as workmen of the Word that we've got to look at the context, right? Immediate context and the greater context. The previous verse lists a bunch of wonderful things about being called, justified, glorified, and a bunch of other stuff from chapter 1 through chapter 8. Some of them include God redeeming us, justifying us, making us righteous through the completed works of Jesus Christ, God calling us, God glorifying us, God making us His sons and daughters, making us children, God making us heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, God giving us eternal life, and God giving us full access to Him by way of His wonderful grace. Those are some of the things this is referring about. What shall we say to these things? A lot of great things. Could you think of any greater things to consider? Being glorified, called, redeemed, sons of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, access to God? Pretty good things, right? All these realities and more declared in Romans chapter 1 through 8 are these things. And as we read verse 31, we are asked an honest question. Really, we're reaching a pinnacle of consideration in light of living in this world and having all that God has made available. What shall we say to these things? God answers it with another question. Little figure of speech going on here, huh? God answers it with another question. And then, in the next several verses, He explains it in a most wonderful way. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? If God be for us, if He's on my team, we got you whooped in every situation. We are redeemed, we're justified, glorified, called of God, we have eternal life, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ, we have access with God. Wow! What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What's the answer? No one! No one! Absolutely no one. We used to do this little cheer. Have you ever been to like a summer camp where we do a little cheer? And if God be for us, who can be against us? No one, no one, no one. Man, what a great reality. Hey, is this man's word we're talking about? No, we're talking about God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, is making these wonderful statements. What a great challenge to our mind. If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, no one, that's right. And if that's not enough, God, in His loving, gracious way, explains this whole thing. His wonderful love, His desire for us to stand as more than conquerors in the next several verses. So let's take a look at verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? God's full of questions here. Rhetorical questions that we pretty much know what the answer is. Man, He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? What things? All things. And we just saw a bunch of them, didn't we? You know, if we go back and read the previous 8 chapters, there's a bunch of things. We're thankful that he spared not his own son, huh? Very thankful. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? You want to know what Jesus Christ is doing at the right hand of God? Hey, you know, Bill, John, and Fred, and Tom, and stuff, they're great believers, Dad. They're just wonderful. Take care of them. He's making intercession for us. Pretty nice. Nice big brother we got, huh? My big brother would just do the opposite to my dad. He'd say, Bob's really messing up here. He's no good. Why'd you have him for a son anyway? But our big brother, Jesus Christ, makes intercession for us. Who? And here we get these more questions. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Quite a list. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. What's the answer to that one? Nay. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What are we? More than conquerors. We're conquerors, but not only that, we're more than conquerors, all right? We're more than conquerors, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Excuse me. Whew, that's a lot there. Wow. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from what? The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a dynamic presentation of God's Word. Isn't that fantastic? Unbelievable. Nothing, absolutely nothing shall separate us from the love of God. We're more than conquerors. Hey, that's a pretty good explanation of verse 31 there, right? What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Man, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We're more than conquerors. And then, what do we read? Well, chapter 9, right? We go to chapter 9. And for some people, after this great pinnacle of truth is unfolded, they're a little baffled here about chapter 9, 10, and 11 because we see a bunch of Old Testament quotes. We hear things about the Judeans and the Gentiles. So all of a sudden here, after this great buildup, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. We're more than conquerors. It starts talking about Jews and Gentiles. But you know what? God lovingly put this wonderful section in here because there are people in this world that are not born again of God's Spirit. I trust all of you are born again of God's Spirit. But this is addressed to born again ones, believers. But there are some people in the world that are not born again. And they're either Judeans or Gentiles. And in this great section, God digresses and addresses these wonderful folks. Why? So that they can get born again of God's Spirit. Why is Romans 10:9 where it's at? You know, you don't really need to hear that because you're already born again. But Judeans do, Gentiles do. And that's why that's there. So all through chapter 9, 10, and 11, God digresses a little bit and addresses everybody else in the world to give them a wonderful opportunity to see his love and to make a great choice to get born again of God's Spirit. Pretty neat. God lovingly takes the time to appeal to the Gentiles and Judeans. You know, Walter Cummins, Reverend Walter Cummins, in his book, wonderful research tool, it's called A Journey Through Acts and Epistles. And he works this section of God's Word, and there's some great study notes, there's a working translation of this. And he makes some comments here in light of chapter 9, 10, and 11. Having set forth in chapters 1 through 8 the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ with regard to man's justification by believing and things pertaining to restoration of things that were lost by Adam, chapters 9 through 11 discuss certain situations pertaining to Judeans and Gentiles and the realities of Jesus Christ's accomplishments being made available to both according to God's choosing. In the discussion, it spoke of the salvation by believing and of those who chose to accept it and of those who chose to refuse it from both Judeans and Gentiles. By Jesus Christ's accomplishments according to God's promises, those promised realities became available to the Judeans and to the Gentiles who believe regarding Jesus Christ. Now, understanding that chapter 9, 10, and 11 are a digression addressed to Judeans and the Gentiles, in chapter 12, it goes back to talking to the believers. So what we can do, we could read this section in chapter 8 where we see that we're born again of God's Spirit, right? And we have all these wonderful things. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We're more than conquerors. So what are we going to do? Chapter 12. And how does God approach us in light of this? You would think God would say, hey, you guys, look what all I did. All these things I gave you, made available who you are. Now, why don't you guys do something? But is that how he addresses us? Let's take a look at verse 1, chapter 12 of Romans. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God. Wow. Isn't that real loving and kind? Man, oh man. I beseech you. The word beseech means to call aside, to appeal, to exhort. I beseech you, therefore. And why is the therefore there? It is there as a result of what is said previously. And what is said previously refers back to being more than a conqueror. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. I beseech you, therefore, I lovingly implore, because you are more than a conqueror, because nothing can separate us from the love of God, I call you aside, I appeal to you by the mercies of God, by the compassions of God. The word mercy means a feeling of compassion felt on witnessing a calamity. You know, somebody gets hurt. Oh, man, you feel really, you know, your compassion, your heart goes out to them. That's what this is talking about. Isn't this a great loving way to appeal to us? What great tenderness that God is exhibiting. Okay, let's go on. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. This is what God is beseeching us to do by the mercies of God. To present our bodies a living sacrifice. Not a dead one, a living one. The word present means to yield. To yield. We yield ourselves as living sacrifices. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God is lovingly imploring us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. holy, sanctified, very special. Acceptable means well-pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let me share with you the literal of that verse that Walter Cummins puts here. Actually, he calls it a working translation. Therefore, brothers, I exhort you by the compassion of God to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, sanctified, well-pleasing to God, which is your logical divine service as sons of God. Man, what a wonderful appeal God is coming to us and say, hey, you're more than conquerors. Nothing can separate you from the love that I have for you. Look at all the great things you have. You're born again of God's Spirit, eternal life. So here's what God would have us to do. This is what we would want to do too, I would guess. After knowing what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, why not say, hey, I want to be a part of your life. God, you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us so that we could have life. And so I want to live that life that you've made available. You've made given me eternal life. You've called me. I'm heirs of God. All these great things. And now God is appealing to us to present ourselves a living sacrifice. Then verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. This is how we're going to do this. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now the word conform, be not conformed to this world, is a word that's translated fashion, okay? Or put together. Let's look at, we're going to come back here, but go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. First Peter 1:13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. That word fashioning is the same Greek word as be not conformed to this world. So we don't wear the fashions of this world, okay? We want to fashion ourselves after our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. But, verse 15 in 1 Peter here, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or behavior. A great exhortation. Now back in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we want to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Transform. And that word transform is metamorphomai, something like that. I'm not a Greek scholar, so forgive me for these mispronunciations. But the word that's used there is what we used today in metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. You know, it's that little caterpillar. Ooh, yeah. All you ladies are scrunching your... Ooh, yeah, little caterpillars. But what happens to that caterpillar? Gets himself into a cocoon and stuff, and it comes out what? A beautiful butterfly. It transforms, transfigured. That's a great... probably better translation, it transfigures into a whole new beautiful butterfly. That's what it's communicating here. We don't want to conform to the world, but we want to transfigure ourselves. And how are we going to do it? By the renewing of your mind. Your mind. The word renewing means to new up in quality. New up in quality. It's like you have an old house. and you call Will up, and you want to remodel it, right? Barnhart's are remodeling their home, expanding, and so Will's in there helping them do that, and it's going to be like a new house. So we need to remodel our mind with God's Word, right? Okay. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This working translation of verse 2 in chapter 12, do not be fashioned by this age, but be transfigured by the renewing of the mind so that you may prove what is the good and well-pleasing and mature will of God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, please. Hey, we're talking about the renewed mind. The renewed mind is the great response that we should have in light of being sons of God, knowing that nothing can separate us from the love of God, that we're more than conquerors. So if that's true, we want to renew our minds so that we can walk in all the fullness of being more than a conqueror, a son of God. So we've got to renew our minds. 2 Corinthians, how are we going to do this? God's Word helps us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding in a glass, and the word glass there refers to a mirror. But we all, with open face, nothing hidden, beholding as in a glass, a mirror, the glory of the Lord. When you look in a mirror, spiritually, you see the glory of the Lord. Are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Man, we have the free will choice to decide who we see in the mirror. Either we're going to see Christ in us, or we're going to see the old man. Here's my mirror. I get up in the morning, shake around a little bit, rub the eyes, open them, look in the mirror, and I go, ah! Or, what does the Word say? Word says, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm a son of God. I've got Christ in me. Yeah, the Son of God right here. I'm a son of God. I get to start my day as a son of God, filled with the power of God in my life. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. I'm more than a conqueror. I've got eternal life. Heir, joint heir with Christ. That's me right there. Mirrors don't lie. That's my opportunity to do that. To do that. What do you see? What do all of you see here? Sons of God, yes. The glory of the Lord. That's what you see. You folks on the CD listening to this, I'm pointing the mirror at the audience here. And they see the glory of the Lord. We need to make that choice. We have the opportunity to decide, are we going to walk as sons of God today? We look in the mirror, it's the glory of the Lord. Let's walk like that. We change our mind to think like that. That's this wonderful renewed mind. Wow. That word changed, are changed into the same image, is the same root word, metamorpho. Metamorpho. Let's go to James 1:22. The renewed mind is such a vital subject for the born-again believer. It should be a great joy for us to change our mind to walk for God. I mean, what has the world done for you lately? My golly, the world just beats us up. We should just be so excited. You know, we get out of bed and I just can't wait to look in the mirror and see the great glory of the Lord. You run in the bathroom and look, and there it is. Wow. Okay, 1:22, James. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, talk is talk. But we want to walk the talk, right? We want to be doers of the word. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. There's Bob. Yep, there he is. A little gray hair coming out here and stuff. Getting a little chunky around the cheeks here. There's old Bob, natural man, beholding himself as a natural man. Because I don't what? Do what? Do the word. There it is. It's that simple. That simple. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. We don't want to do that. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Wow. A couple more verses here. Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians on the renewed mind. Ephesians 4:22. Ephesians 4:22. Great section in God's Word in light of the renewed mind. 4:22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. And who's the new man? Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's us. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor. We are members one of another. This putting off and putting on is the word in the Greek. It's a word as with clothes. Okay? So, it works like this. Here's my old man right here. I'm putting on an old jacket. And this is my old man. You know, don't feel good sometimes. Made mistakes. Said some bad words yesterday and made somebody upset and mad. And this is the old man here. What does the word say I do with the old man? Put it off. That's right. And I'm going to put on the new man. Ah, created what? Woo. That's right, man. Son of God. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Called to be a son of God. Heir with God, joint heir with Jesus Christ. That's right, man. I'm putting on the new man. Day in, day out. 24 hours a day. It says in Romans, I'll quote it to you, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh. So this flesh here, I don't want to carry this around with me. I got my new man on. Why do I want to carry this old man around? No provisions for the flesh. He's gone. It's the new man. All this with the idea of in my mind, right? Mentally. Putting on God's word. Putting on who you are in Christ. That's who I am. That's who I decide to be. The next hour, the next day, the next year until Christ comes back. One more section, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. I put him off, so I'm not going to be lying anymore. Put him off. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The knowledge of who we are in Christ. Jesus Christ accomplished it for us. And as we understand and appreciate the accomplishments of our Lord Jesus Christ to make it available that I could be born again of God's Spirit, boy, and I get that in my mind, I get thankful, I realize who I am. I am glorified before God. I've got Christ in me. I'm something special. I'm sanctified, holy. Not what I did, but what Jesus Christ did for me. So I want to put this on. Put on. I have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So what do we learn today? What have we learned today? That the word of truth communicates that nothing can separate us from the love of God. You can be having a bad day and nobody loves me and the boss is mad at me and the dog bites me and, oh my goodness, it's a horrible day. But nothing will separate me from the love of God. What else did we learn today? We're more than conquerors through Him loved us. God has called us. What are those things? We've been called. We've been justified, redeemed. God's righteousness, sons of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Boy, just load up our minds. That's who we are. That's who we are. So as a result of this phenomenal true reality, the Heavenly Father lovingly implores us. He just lovingly implores us to be, for us to have, to renew our minds. He lovingly implores us with the compassion of His mercy to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. It's a logical thing to do. To do this, we don't want to conform ourselves to this world, do we? We conform not to this world, but we renew our minds so as to prove the will of God. We look into the mirror, and what do we see? The glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. And we look into the mirror of God's Word, so to speak, huh? God's Word is our mirror. That's who we are. We see the Christ within. We cast off that old man and put on the new man. And we walk for a Heavenly Father and be a wonderful glory to Him. Okay? So Heavenly Father, very, very, very thankful for the truth of Your Word. That this is Your Word, this is Your will, this is the truth beyond anything and everything else that's available in the world. And to realize that You want us to not only have all the greatness of the accomplishments of Jesus Christ, and to be righteous and all those things, but You want us to be more than conquerors. You want us to know that nothing shall separate us from the love You have for us. And Father, that we can truly renew our minds with Your Word, putting on Your Word in our minds more and more each day so that we can walk as a wonderful glory to You. So Father, I pray for each and every person here, for their wonderful lives and what they do to take a stand for You, to make great decisions today and tomorrow and the rest of their lives, to stand for You until Christ comes back. So we sure love You, Father, and thankful for the privilege to be Your kids and to be Your glory. And I pray that we can walk in that the rest of our lives until Christ comes back. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 All right. Bless you, bro.